the reward that I get from that in terms of sharing it with other people is the same things that I feel myself, is that I'm teaching people how to be in control of their bodies. And when they do that, they unlock a new level of their physical fitness. They're able to exercise differently. They're able to be more aware of their body, to be more aware of their breathing. And that leads to things like pain relief and feeling better on a day-to-day basis. But it also indirectly teaches people tools to manage their stress.
Welcome to Guys Talking Yoga, a podcast created to help inspire more men to consider the practice of yoga as a means to better health and wellness by sharing the stories of other guys. In this episode, Dean Pohlman, the founder of Manflow Yoga, shares his path and the idea to launch an online yoga training program targeted to men who are new to the practice. In 2012, as a senior lacrosse player in Wisconsin, Dean wandered into a yoga class, ended up talking to the instructor, and realized there was a class starting in a few minutes, and he jumped in. And halfway through these 26 Bikram postures, he was so taken by the strength, stamina, and coordination needed to do these full-body isometric poses that Dean was convinced his friends would benefit from the practice too. So he started studying the various yoga postures. Not long after, in 2013, recognizing that there was nothing out there for guys, he created Manflow Yoga, a fitness-oriented, non-spiritual approach to yoga created for guys. Well, Dean, great to finally meet you and welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Derek. Excited that we connected and cool that we have such similar background. So I'm excited to have the conversation.
Likewise. And you've been into this big time for over a decade.
Yeah.
So tell us, how did you get into yoga?
I got into yoga, actually, it was a total accident. I was looking for the tailor one day and I stumbled into a yoga class. I was on the way to the gym anyways after that. So I was like, okay, well, let me just try this yoga class. And I asked the front desk, you know, I'm a lacrosse player. Is this good for me? And they said, oh yeah, this is going to be great for your flexibility and your core strength. And, you know, I kind of look around the room and I see old ladies. It's not athletic looking people. I'm like, yeah, okay, whatever. Let's give this a shot. This is a Bikram yoga class, by the way. And halfway through the class, I'm like, I'm dying. Like, this is totally new movements for me. It's extremely difficult. It still is to this day. That was the hardest workout that I've ever done. And it was only halfway through. And they're like, okay, we're halfway through. It's party time. You guys can have a sip of water, then go back to, you know, dying from exhaustion and overheating. And that for me was the first time I did yoga. And that was enough for me to realize, oh, wow, this is really exposing some of my weaknesses. And I'm going to keep coming back and doing this because I like the challenge of it. And something in me kind of inherently understood that something that was this challenging was going to be good for improving my fitness.
Yeah. And let me just hit you there. So in that Bikram class, what were your challenges that actually caught your attention?
Isometric holds was really tough. You know, just getting into something and holding it, getting into it, just a chair pose and holding it, holding a side bend, the back bends, like stuff on the floor, like the floor series with Cobra Full Locust. It was just movements that I wasn't doing at all in my other training. So think of what you do while you're weightlifting. If you played high school sports, think of the conditioning drills that you did running on the lines and doing, you know, various footwork and things of that nature. And it was just all of the things that you don't do in your normal workouts, the back bends, the side bends, the isometric holds, getting deep into your range of motion and then holding it there and working on strength. And that was the big difference.
Did you just keep coming back to that studio or how else did you explore it?
Yeah, so I kept on coming back to that studio for probably a few weeks. I tried to do like 5 times a week. I don't know if I was up to doing it every day, but I had a friend who liked yoga, and she took me to a different yoga studio. And this was just like a basic 60-minute vinyasa class. And we finished, and I was like, wait, that's it? That's the whole workout? Because I was used to doing 90 minutes and super challenging. And so we finished. And I also had questions that people thought were silly. So at the beginning of every yoga class, they say, is there any pose that you want to work on today? And I said, child's pose. And everyone laughed. I'm like, no, really, I don't know what's going on in child's pose. What are we supposed to be feeling here? So yeah, I had a lot of questions in, you know, yoga classes. And that was one big reason why I realized kind of the need for what I ended up creating was I have all these questions and none of the instructors are really providing me with answers. There just wasn't really much focus on technique. There wasn't much explanation of this is what this pose is supposed to be targeting. This is why it's going to help. I wanted a more educative experience and I wanted something more relevant to an athlete. So,
were you still in college at this time?
Yeah, I was a senior. I was playing lacrosse for the University of Wisconsin. And this was right before I went back for our spring season.
You obviously got hooked. You saw the value and benefit. You started to get into it. When did you start trying to bring others to yoga?
Right away, honestly. I had friends on the lacrosse team who were interested in one of them. He's a trainer now for, I think he's the strength and conditioning coach for the University of Wisconsin for their hockey team, which is a big deal. It's a really good hockey team. So he was my roommate. I was like, hey, come to this yoga class. And he's like, no, I don't want to go. And I try to get my lacrosse teammates to come with me. I'm like, guys, this is an awesome workout. Come with me. And I was the most fit guy on the team. I was like the team beast. And I was telling guys on my team, like, hey, like, you know who I am. Like, you know what kind of shape I'm in. Come to this workout with me. And they're like, no, I don't want to go. All the things that you used to think about yoga classes, you know, it's for girls. It's not masculine. It's not good enough workout. What ended up happening was I approached a yoga studio that I was going to and said, hey, can you guys do a class for us? And they priced it out. And we were an underfunded club college team. So that didn't work. So we were like, hey, how about you try teaching? I'm like, I'll try it. So I ended up teaching my team. I was the conditioning coach in addition to like a team captain of sorts. So I ended up just doing some yoga with them during our conditioning sessions. We got to the rec space. We carved out a space on one of the basketball courts, like took up a half court. And then we all lined up and we just started going through these poses. And that was how I started teaching.
What were the guys' reaction after that first class, or those first couple of classes? Did they take to it pretty quick or were some of them still a harder sell?
There were only some of them that were like a hard sell. There was one guy in particular. The irony of this is that he ended up like tearing both knees like next year in a game. But he would look around and not pay attention at all. But everyone else was like looking forward, like, what are we doing? Like, what's Dean doing? How do we do this? I remember when I demoed a Warrior 3 for the first time, I got like an applause. So yeah, people were attentive. And part of it was they just enjoyed that they weren't sprinting. I remember I would finish some of the classes with a Shavasana. And they came away from that like, oh, this is great. It feels so relaxed. But to me, that's one of the things that I thought would be a big turnoff would be like the Shavasana at the end. And it turned out that the guys really enjoyed doing it. So to be honest, I don't do Shavasana in classes that I teach, but that's mainly out of a time constraint thing. You know, most people, they have like 20 minutes, 30 minutes to work out. So if we add in like a 4 minutes of Shavasana, like that takes out a significant chunk of time.
Yeah, and I think that's a challenge with a lot of classes where if you give time for Shavasana, like maybe 20% stick around because everyone else is so ready to get to the next thing or get to the showers early or get the hell out of there because they don't want to be putting on shoes in a tight, cramped space in the lobby or whatever it is. And it's too bad. What did you enjoy about teaching these classes?
You know, no one's ever asked me that question before. I think part of it didn't honestly have to do anything with the yoga itself. I think part of it just had to do with I enjoy working out. I enjoy physical fitness. And for me to be able to demonstrate to people like, hey, this is something that I'm good at. And if you do this, you will also feel the benefits of it. That was enjoyable for me. The other reason why I like teaching it was just because I knew how good my body felt as a result of doing those workouts consistently. And I wanted my friends and my teammates to feel good too. That was a big driving factor. It was, this workout has the potential to really improve your fitness, and it just needs to be presented in a way that's more relatable.
Do you think with athletes, with guys, that the primary benefit of yoga is really about hitting muscles and developing stamina and strength as a complement to the other things that they do? Or would you also say yoga in and of itself is a great warm-up for certain activities or as a way to recover from things? Or is it really all above?
Yes. you can do yoga in a way where it's great as a warm-up. If you're doing it with an emphasis on strength, with there's balance involved, and if you're focusing on active range of motion as opposed to passive flexibility, then it's actually a wonderful and extremely effective warm-up. It's what I do before my own weight training sessions is I do a variation of an intense yoga workout. But also, yes, the same thing that could be a warm-up could also be a short workout. And there would be benefits to gain from that in terms of targeting underutilized areas, in terms of just getting all the right muscle groups firing. Most people have issues firing their core, firing their glutes, firing their upper back muscles. So doing a workout that does all of that as a warm-up is very helpful to any workout.
Yeah. I enjoy doing a little like counter-rotation yoga after that stuff as a post-workout complement, particularly with hockey or golf, where you have just so much rotation to one side. And it really helps me sort of take the intensity out of the lower back and hips, kind of let go a little bit from having to be so hyper-vigilant and protecting that area in those sports as a guy who's pushing 50. And I totally agree with you on all of that. So how long did it take for you teaching yoga classes, doing what you were doing at Wisconsin, to come up with the idea of actually creating a business and a brand around yoga instruction?
Well, I started the YouTube channel in January, like literally a month after I started doing yoga. This is 2012. And then I moved to Austin in March 2013. I got a job as a sales rep at an awful third-party logistics company. And while I was doing that, I was still recording videos and kind of getting that up on YouTube and making Facebook posts, writing blogs every now and then. So my work week sucked. It was terrible. So my weekends were like my fun time. And I would do yoga, I would go play lacrosse, and I would go out on boats on the weekends. And I remember somebody asking me, you know, I was telling them about Manful Yoga and what I did and this YouTube channel. And they're like, oh, that's so cool. Is that what you do full time? And I would laugh at them. And I'd think, no, I don't do that full time. And then I did actually start doing it full time by January 2014. That was when I had enough kind of momentum. And that was when I had built up enough of a brand that I was able to get enough group classes and one-on-one personal training sessions together that I was able to say, okay, like, I'm making enough money that I can pay rent and buy cheap food. So I was doing the math back then. And if I could do like two or three classes a day and I could make like $100 or something like that, then I was like, okay, this is enough. This is enough money. And I was also working in a moving company part-time for about 4 months while I was kind of making this transition. And that was super helpful doing that. It was about 4 to 6 months of building enough business to be able to do it full-time.
Making the transition over and feeling like it was ready to make the leap.
Yeah. But I also, what I had working for me was that I had nothing to leap from. I was in a position where I quit the job because I had another job offer, which then ended up falling through. So I was left in this position like, okay, I don't have any job prospects, but I do have this YouTube channel. If I can make $100 a day, then I can do this thing. So I had nothing to fall back on. How will I take care of my family and kids if I lose this? Like, no, I had nothing. I was like 24 years old. I had no real expenses.
But you knew the corporate path or doing this sort of 9-to-5 job was not your bag.
No, I was never built to do a 9-to-5. Just, I've always been an entrepreneur. It just took me a long time to realize it.
So tell us about the brand. I think you just came up with a killer name. Obviously, your timing was really great because there was really no one else out there thinking of this untapped market. How did that all happen?
Yeah, the timing was really good, just in the sense it was kind of right at the cusp of more men starting to do yoga, it being seen less as a weird spiritual thing and more as like an accepted form of fitness. The brand itself, the name Manflow Yoga, I actually initially called it Broflow Yoga. I looked online and I thought there must be all sorts of types of yoga brands for men. And I looked it up and there was nothing for Broflow Yoga. I'm like, that's a cool name. I'm 22. That sounds great. Let's buy that domain for $7. And so I got the domain. I created all the pages and then I emailed this company called Broga. and said, hey guys, like I made this page. Look, it's cool. It's like what you guys are doing. And they were like, ooh, we really like what you're doing. Could you change the name though? So it was like the nicest non-cease and desist letter that I ever received. And then I said, okay, fine, I'll call it Manflow Yoga. And that was how it got its name. And I stuck with the name. Initially, it was just called Yoga for Guys. Like, that's what it was. I'm like, hey, it's yoga, but for men. And I initially thought I was going to be kind of training or kind of working with a bunch of other bros like me who wanted to get ripped with yoga. Turned out there weren't that many 22-year-old men looking to get jacked with yoga. So what ended up happening was once I started interacting with people and started getting some one-on-one training sessions, I realized I was working with guys who were more so in their 50s who would not have been able to do something like a boot camp workout or weight training or something more intense and needed something that was going to be better for their fitness level, something that was more low to no impact, something that they could do and kind of build a sense of accomplishment without feeling really beat up and kind of discouraged. And so that's who I really started working with, was people who were not athletes.
They weren't going to do the CrossFit stuff. Mm-mm. They weren't going to necessarily buy into the mystical aspects of yoga, which some Mm-mm. people are into. But you knew for this segment, these bunch of guys, that they need to be able to take advantage of some of the yoga techniques and postures and training in order to complement their wellness, their health, whatever else they're doing for fitness. So for those who aren't familiar with Manflow Yoga, what are the characteristics of a typical Manflow Yoga class?
So I think if I had to point out three things in particular, and that makes things simple. The first is the fitness focused aspect. So we're focusing on how do you do this properly with proper technique? What are the appropriate muscles to target? What should you be feeling? What should you not be feeling? What are the muscles that you're stretching? What are the muscles that you're strengthening? And then what are the benefits of these different movements that we're doing? How do they translate into real life fitness? So that's the first part. The second part is that they are designed specifically for men. And we are recognizing that men are not as flexible as women. They don't evolve to give birth, so they have less flexible hips. Men also have stronger upper bodies. Women tend to have more center of gravity in their core and their hips. Men tend to have it more in their shoulders. So there are movements that men will do incorrectly based on the predominantly female focused instruction that you're going to find. You know, even though more men are still doing yoga, but the yoga industry and just yoga instructors in general, they are more focused on the 80% of the people that are doing it, which are women. So the second big part is that these poses are more appropriate for guys who are not flexible. They're more appropriate for people who are new to yoga, because most guys coming into At the time, I think most guys coming into this were new to yoga. We do have a significant portion of people who are doing Manful Yoga that are experienced with other type of yoga. But the feedback that we get is that this is way more strength focused. This is way more technique focused than any yoga that I've ever done before. And I can feel the results differently than compared to doing the yoga that I was doing for 10 years. And then the third thing is the non-spiritual aspect. I have so many conversations with people about spiritual, but really what I mean is non-religious. So we're not incorporating any sense of, I hate to say the term Eastern religion, because it just kind of telegraphs profound kind of sense of ignorance, but it's not incorporating Buddhism. It's not pretending to be religious at all. So if you consider spirituality to be a sense of oneness that can come when you have created the conditions with your body and your breathing that you feel like, oh, wow, gotten to this place where I feel like I am open to a spiritual experience, then that's fine. Like, great. For me, I'm like, this feels great when I'm working on my breathing, working on my body, being aware of my body and getting into a sense of flow. But I don't equate that with like a spiritual thing. But a lot of people do.
Every teacher has their own thing that they care about, their approach, their style. Students look for different things. And you've really done an exceptional job at focusing on a particular product and experience that is consistent, that is very targeted to an audience that you want to connect with. And you also know what your audience is looking for. You know, it sounds like if there's a spiritual aspect to really feeling good in your body and having a sense for how your foot feels in relation to your knee and your hip and your heart rate and your flow and your general sense of feeling and connecting as a human, if that's it, that's great. And you're also doing what's true to your heart. Not to say you don't have a spiritual side or a religious component. It's just not what you offer with the brand and what you're trying to deliver to those who are looking for stuff.
Yeah, I think that you said it really well. But just because I don't practice spirituality when I'm doing my workout doesn't mean that I'm not a spiritual person. In fact, a lot of what I've done with my own yoga practice, the things that I do on my own, and also they're the same things that I do with the workouts that I record for Manful Yoga. Like, they're very similar to what I do on my own, but I think they do help me get to a place where I'm able to like actually sit in solitude and kind of reflect and be like, how do I make sense of my place in the universe right now? I just don't do that while I'm doing a lunge, right? That's the difference. Is like, I'm right now, I'm working out. I'm making sure that I'm doing the squat properly. This is not the time for me to ponder my place in the universe. And that's it. You know, for me, coming into this from the perspective of an athlete, someone who lifts weights, think about this. If you were to go into a gym and let's say you're doing like three sets of bench press, right? But then between sets, you're supposed to like pay attention to your third chakra and like that would just be ridiculous, right? That would be insane. But for me, working out has always been a physical thing. There's no space for conscious spiritual practice while I'm working out. And so like that was my experience with yoga class. On the other hand, there are a lot of people who've never exercised before and they come into a yoga class and their only experience with fitness is combining it with spiritual. How could you possibly separate spiritual from yoga? I'm like, well, because you've never done anything else before. That's the only experience that you have. But for me, coming into a yoga as another workout, like it just doesn't make sense to have the spiritual component there. And I knew that if that was my experience, that there would be millions or hundreds of millions of other men who had a similar experience and thought, hey, like, this is cool. This is a good workout, but that part doesn't really make sense to me. And so it felt very weird to include that in the teaching. So I never did. I think I did Shavasana once, and that was because of my first class and I panicked and I didn't know what I was doing. But like, I don't do Shavasana in my classes because it doesn't feel right. I also don't say namaste in my classes. I don't finish the class and then say namaste because I don't do that in my weight training workouts, or I don't do that when I go running. Like, it doesn't make sense to me. So I don't do it. So that's the spiritual, not spiritual thing.
And I think the most important thing is you lead and teach a style of yoga that you enjoy doing. And you know that certain folks are going to come for that particular style. Some might progress into more of a mystical, spiritual aspect of yoga. That's great. You do what you do and you do what you're good at and you do what you enjoy. And that's kind of your spiritual gift to others is saying, come get in great shape. Come lose some weight. Come develop some flexibility, some strength, some stamina. And I feel like that just sticking to who you are is really the most important thing. So I want to talk a little bit about anatomy because back when I was in college in the fall, we were always lifting, getting ready for lacrosse in the spring. And it was literally like chest, tries, and shoulders, and it was back, thigh, and legs. Like, that was the extent of what I knew. I knew what the pecs were, I knew what the calves were, and the biceps. But in my yoga training, and also just in my own curiosity, learning about muscles, I have found the more that I can learn about which muscle groups work with one another, either as synergists or antagonists, it's helped me a lot. It helped me quite a bit to really get a sense for what I'm feeling in my body in certain poses. And that feeling might be a place of limited flexibility or range of motion. That place might be just tension that's holding. And over time, I've felt when blood flow starts to come in that area and awareness that I'm able to get a better sense of feel. But I would never have gotten this far in the way I feel and the way I move if I didn't have some understanding about some basic anatomy. And when I say basic anatomy, I mean more than what I referenced when I was in college, when you were just trying to figure out what day of lifting you were doing. What's your feeling about anatomy and the importance of knowing anatomy, not just as a teacher, but also somebody who's getting into this practice?
I think more important than anatomy is developing body awareness. That, for me, has been the most profound benefit of practicing yoga and kind of building upon yoga, just doing exercise in a way that was more mindful and slower and more controlled, or just straight up isometric where you're not moving. And it was in practicing those movements that I was able to understand, oh, this is the muscle that I'm supposed to be trying to use right now. I'm going to try and squeeze this muscle. And being able to practice that and then integrate it into other workouts, like being able to do a squat, but actually have the body awareness and the muscle control to now squeeze my glutes as I'm doing a squat, instead of before just I'm going down, I'm going up, right? But being able to practice that body awareness, that's been the most profound. And as far as the anatomy knowledge, it can be helpful, but I can also just say, hey, you want to feel this muscle in the front of your hip working, or I can kind of point to it. And so like, it is helpful to have that anatomical knowledge, but you really don't need that much. I might have a knowledge of anatomy to the point that I take it for granted, and it doesn't like, maybe it's helpful, but I wouldn't be able to tell the difference between not having it or having it.
Come on, people, use your tibialis, right?
Yeah. I mean, I do. I kind of realized that I didn't do enough focus on dorsiflexion, which is basically keeping your heel down and being able to bring your knee further forward so you can get deeper into squat. So a lot of my workouts where I'm working on that, I'll say, hey, you're engaging here. You're working your anterior tibialis, and this is going to help you with your dorsiflexion, which is basically bringing your shin closer to the top of your foot. So there is an anatomical component to that, but I find that it doesn't have to be super in-depth in order for there to be benefit.
Speaking of body awareness, how does that translate for the athlete on the court, on the field, on the ice, on the golf course? Where have you noticed that in the sports that you play, or in some of the sports and activities that some of your clients and people in your community play?
So there's kind of a spectrum of awareness. The most aware level would be when you're doing something like yoga, where it's isometric or very slow moving. So it doesn't have to be yoga, but it could be an isometric exercise or slow moving. And that is where you're actually practicing body awareness. The second level would be something where it's a more controlled environment, where you're lifting weights or you're doing like a specific conditioning drill. And this is where you're able to integrate the body awareness that you practice in yoga with faster exercise. When you move into the actual sport setting, though, so if you are on the field and you're running or you're doing something very fast, you're not going to have that awareness as much because you're thinking about the game. But when you work on the body awareness in your training that you learn from something like yoga or just isometric exercises, it integrates into your subconscious movement at a point so that you're using that body awareness. You're now using these muscles more effectively and you're not even aware of it. You don't want to get to the point where you're overthinking it, right? You don't want to be, you know, making a cut like you and I, we play lacrosse, right? So you don't want to be doing a split dodge and thinking, okay, I'm going to really push down through my glutes as I'm like juking this guy out. And then I want to make sure that my shoulder blades are really engaged as I'm prepping for this shot. You can't do that. But if you practice that in your other workouts, then it's something that becomes subconscious later on.
What have you seen in the men that you've worked with, or just feedback that you get online? What's the kind of things that you're hearing from those guys who have gotten into yoga, specifically Manflow yoga, and what they've gotten out of it?
Pain relief, being able to do what they want to do with their bodies, getting rid of back pain, getting rid of joint pain. That's the biggest thing, is getting people from, many of these people that I speak with have had chronic pain for years and they do Manflow yoga for 2 or 3 weeks. And they're like, I don't have back pain anymore. Like it went away. I don't know what happened, but it's gone. Or the knee pain goes away. Or they're able to start doing the things that they just thought they wouldn't be able to ever do again, like going for a run without pain, or going to a CrossFit workout, or being able to garden and not have pain, or not have as much soreness or pain the next day. So the biggest thing that we hear about is the pain relief aspect.
What is it about yoga that you think helps so much with pain?
It's the combination of strength and mobility. It's building a foundational level of strength, and it's also building a functional level of mobility. So most people who don't work out enough consistently, or people who work out consistently but don't do the necessary exercises, what Manful Yoga does is it helps you build that foundation of strength. So we're working on just the muscles that you need the strength that you need in order to go through everyday movements without pain, but it's also working on common neglected areas of mobility, things like tight hamstrings, tight hips, tight shoulders, poor posture. It's working on those common problem areas to address the root causes of what's causing pain. And we do it in a way that is no impact or low impact, so it doesn't hurt your body. And it's relatively easy in the sense that the exercises are simple and you just watch the video and you follow along, you listen to the cues. You're like, oh, that's the muscle I'm supposed to be using. Oh, I should feel this. Oh, okay, I'm going to use this modification because I'm not as flexible as that dude yet. So it's a very effective workout to address common physical challenges, but it's relatively easy to do.
Yeah, that's great. What is it about yoga that you appreciate so much? And on top of that, what is it about being someone who's a leader, an ambassador for the practice of yoga and helping bring it to so many people?
For me, the most profound benefit of having a consistent yoga practice is being able to exercise in a way that slows everything down and gives me a chance to focus on body awareness, focus on my breathing, to focus on targeting muscles in a way that I'm not doing in my other workouts. And that practice, that slow movement practice in a lot of ways, and the emphasis on breathing has been a springboard for a lot of different areas of my life. So sometimes when I'm doing yoga, it can lead into this profound sense of stress relief and being at peace. Sometimes it can be something that I use to clear my head. It can be something that is as simple as a warm-up for another workout. It can be something that is a workout on its own. And I think the reward that I get from that in terms of sharing it with other people is those same things that I feel myself, is that I'm teaching people how to be in control of their bodies. And when they do that, they unlock a new level of their physical fitness. They're able to exercise differently. They're able to be more aware of their body, to be more aware of their breathing. And that leads to things like pain relief and feeling better on a day-to-day basis. But it also indirectly teaches people tools to manage their stress. So, you know, my website and a lot of the things that I make are, hey, we're going to work on relieving your back pain. We're going to work on building your strength and increasing your flexibility. But when we have interviews with people, we talk about people for our success stories, they mention that, but then they say, and there's something that happened that I didn't expect, which was I feel less stressed. I am somehow more energetic, yet calmer throughout the day now and more focused. I'm more energetic, but I'm calmer and more focused as a result of the workouts that I do on a regular basis. So that's my answer.
Well, Dean, it's great to finally connect. Congrats on what you've accomplished with this brand over the last 10 years. Thank you for helping bring yoga to so many guys out there I know who struggle with not just physical things, but stress and all kinds of stuff. And also, we know there's a huge bucket of guys out there who still need to discover yoga. So thanks for jumping on and spending some time with us, and best of luck in Texas.
Yeah. It was a cool conversation. Thanks for the thoughtful questions and keeping me on track.
Right on, man. Good luck and hope to talk to you again soon.
Yeah, same to you. Thanks again.
So I give Dean a lot of credit, not only for recognizing what yoga was doing for him, what he felt in his body, but also having the vision to create a yoga program for guys who knew so little about the practice or its physical benefits. By the way, you can check out Manflow Yoga on YouTube, where Dean's amassed over 400,000 subscribers over the past 10 years. There, you'll be able to access many curated programs that address a range of health and fitness objectives. In addition to his free and subscription training offerings, Dean also published a book called Yoga Fitness for Men: Build Strength, Improve Performance, and Increase Flexibility. It's been published in 3 languages and sold over 35,000 copies worldwide since dropping in 2018. So if you're looking to find one of the best online yoga practices that's tailored to guys, I highly recommend Manflow Yoga. Thanks for tuning into this conversation. And remember to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts and follow us on GTY Podcast on Instagram. All of those things really do help us in our mission to help get guys to discover the practice of yoga. Talk to you next time.